Amen. Thank you. It's always just an honor and a joy to come here with you guys, you know. How many of you has never met me? Have I met everybody? Okay. Yeah, there's a few. I need to get in. Andy, was it?
Dean.
Way off. Dean. I'm out.
Andy's a lot older.
Dean, I'm never going to forget it. But your testimony of your son, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had a similar, I was probably the same age or maybe 10, going to a baseball game with my mom. And then I asked her, how do I get saved with my mom, like around the same age. And I got saved in the car. And that brought back a memory to me. So that's amazing. Praise God for that, you know. Yeah. I mean, we give glory to the God, but we also say, it wouldn't be if he didn't go get the boat. You know, it's like, come on, that boat. We got to call that boat salvation boat, baby. Jesus used the boat, right, to preach on? Yes, sir. Amen. So my name is Jesse. I'm in Baltimore now, 4 years, currently in Bible college from Florida originally. And so, we go down. We're part of a team, my wife and I. I'll go to Richmond every Saturday to drive down, and we rent out a church, and a lot of young people there, which is amazing, and just praise God for the work he's doing, I see that here too as well, just like what you guys are doing, you know, going on streets, praying for streets, and it's incredible, and it gives me a lot of joy to be here. So I want to have some joy today. I want to have some fun. Can we have some fun in here? Amen? Okay, so let's go to Psalm 100 and open up his word. It's his word, Lord, yes. So I want to talk a little bit about joy, a little bit about maybe gladness, thanksgiving, and then serving. So Psalm 100, the first part, verse 1. Heavenly Father, just, yes, Lord, you know what we need, God. You know what we need. We thank you, God, that we are given this opportunity to open up the scripture, the word of God. And we want your spirit to breathe on it, Lord, and share that anointing with us, each and every one of us, God. Speak through me now into the ears of those that are listening, God. Open up our hearts, God, and let us put the to-do lists away. Let us put just all the thoughts of the mind, all the discernments of the heart just away, and we could focus on you today and right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let's do it, huh? Let's make just a joyful noise. And Wes, whatever it's like, just make a joyful, maybe say a verse. Thank you, God. You are great and mighty, God. You are powerful. You are our strong tower, our deliverer, our fortress, God. Yes, Jesus, like, right? We got to just say his name sometime, speak to the atmosphere, and we do it out of joy. And as you say it, as you do it, maybe I don't feel it. Maybe I'm, you know, I was sick too, like 2 weeks ago. I was in the same boat, miserable. Miserable. We're all there sometimes, but sometimes you just got to tell yourself otherwise. Speak to your soul, right? David said that in a psalm. I speak to my soul. I have to raise up my soul and just praise God. And we come, and this, I love the start of this psalm, just praising God with a joyful noise, however you can. Maybe it's in your own mind, you know, but just shout for what he has done, because he is great. And we're just gonna have that attitude, just have a joyful attitude when we come into his lands. And so the psalmist is saying this to the whole earth. The land is the whole earth. Like, we need to go and tell people, wake up! Like, there is joy. Like, we have good news for you, right? We have great news for you. People need to hear the good news more than ever. Amen. Amen. Verse 2: Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. My wife and I, when we came in, we're just singing a song. as we're coming in. Why? Because it's a beautiful building. Like, wow, you guys are blessed, like, to have this building. And then more important than that, the people that we're going to see inside the body of Christ. The body, so important, each and every individual. Wow, we're just singing, we're just joy. We're like, hey, we get to go to church today and hear about the word and commune with one another. That is so key and so vital to have. And you guys do it every Sunday. And with but the list, you do it even more than Sundays. That's amazing. So serving, serve the Lord with gladness. We have a lot of servants in here, and I want to speak on that. Let's go to Luke 22. Let's talk about serving. Luke chapter 22. So this is a part of the great question that the disciples came up with. Who is the greatest among them? And it's still going to start in verse 24. We're just going to read through this. Verse 24 in Luke 22. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. All right. Who's talking like this? Anybody here saying this? Who's the greatest in Culpeper Christian, huh? Culpeper Christian Fellowship. Who's the greatest? You guys talk like this? Who's the greatest, huh? Ted, that guy's amazing. That guy's one of the greatest in here. We have these talks, you know? And we kind of, every time I read it, you know, you kind of laugh at it. It's like funny. It's a, like, why are they doing this, really? And just before this, if you read, it was Jesus is like, one of you are going to betray me, and this is how it stirred up. And we could laugh at the disciples for do this, but that word strife is actually like, this is a strong argument. This is causing like division. Like, it's serious. And in Luke 9 as well, they said this again. This is the second time in the Gospel of Luke that they are talking about who is the greatest. And don't we talk about the silliest things sometimes, right? Right? We were talking about this. We say, we get mad and we argue about the most ridiculous things sometimes, right? Oh my gosh, we are so unique and funny and silly. We are sheep. Is like, that's what God says, the most simple way. You guys are like sheep. You go astray, but I love you. But I love you. And what does Christ, how does Christ respond to them? And he said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. So what that word means, benefactor, they benefit. They want to get benefit from their service. So they have a title. I do it for a title. I serve for recognition. I serve to be seen by others. This is why I do it. I'm a benefactor. I have a huge title, you know. And you guys are serving me. I'm lordshipping over you. This is how the king of the Gentiles were to do it. And Christ says, but you shall not be so. And that word shall and be, I'm reading from the King James, but I'm sure other translations are good. At ESV, I love, it's a little more simple for me nowadays. But I read the King James, but ye shall not be so. The shall and the be are not, are just there to help us. So really it says, but ye not be. Wait, but ye not be. No, but ye not so. Give grace with me. But ye not so. But ye not so. Say that. But ye not so. But ye not so. We're not like this. We're not seeking a title. We're not seeking to do it for a benefit, for me to gain something. And that's how the world does it, right? It's a transaction. I do something for you, you do something for me. I'm working hard hours for you to get paid. This is that we're both benefiting. God's like, it's not going to be so among you. It's not going to be so among you. But ye not so. I love this. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Whoa. And I love that. This is what our brother was saying too as well. He was saying, we pray for the young. If you have kids, we pray for them. Like the young, with like all the churches, I love it. A lot of churches, I see this, they're so focused on youth, and that's how it should be. It's like we love the youth. We're embodying them. We're pouring into them. And they're hard to deal with sometimes. My wife is a OT. She does pediatrics. She does kids, and some of the kids have disabilities and whatnot. And just the wow, the weight and the just the pressure it could be to like pour into these children who are they're just off the wall, all over the place. But this is who we are sowing into. Why? Because it's the future generation, you know. It's a future generation. Like, do they not, they don't know the word of God, right? How do I get saved? How do I get saved? Like, at a young age, it's so important for us to pour into these young folks. Pour into them. And you guys do that. You have different events going on, different Bible. Do you have a youth Bible study? Or what was that one event I came up for? Yeah, I don't know. There's a ton of young people that came. What? I wasn't there, but I was coming when it was on, but I wasn't a part of it. You don't remember? You do it! And I know you're praying for the youth. For the young, and it's like whatever age that is. Like who's the youngest here? I think we maybe back here. All right, back here. You two in the back? How old? Hey, I'm just talking. I just want to just... 21? 18 and 20? 18. She's the greatest right now. We're just here to serve her. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun. But it's true. Like, we love young people. We love young people. We want to draw them in. And we want to teach them. And this is how it is so, you know? We love the young people. Keep praying for the young people. For me, like I said, I got saved when I was 9 or 10. And then I went away from God, you know? I went away from God for so long. But because the way I was raised, right? Train up the child the way you want them to be raised and they will not go away from it. It's like we just pray for these young folks because the world is wicked and it's changing and the love is waxing colder and colder. And how vital and important it is, if it is just one young person in your family or in your neighborhood, you're just sowing little seeds into their hearts because they're like sponges. They soak up so much. And that second time they're saying, who is the greatest? Christ brought a child. He's like, this is the greatest. Be like a child. That's amazing. We love it. The greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And second part, he says, he that is chief as he that does serve. We have many pastors and many different leaders here in this church, and they're servants, right? They're servants. They're leaders. The head. We want servants. I was talking to a pastor at our church the other day where I don't talk about politics at all, but I don't know how I was talking about it. But he was like, Jesse, I just want someone, a leader that serves. We just want a leader that serves, you know? And we haven't been seeing that, unfortunately. But let's pray for leaders that have a servant heart and that mimic this, what Jesus is saying. Verse 27, for whether is greater, love this, challenge. It's a challenge from Jesus. It's a question. Whether is greater, who do you think? He that sits at meat or he that serves? Is it he that is sitting down or is he that's standing up? Is he that's getting served or is it the server? I love this. And he says, is it not he that sits at meat? And this is how the mind of this time, it's the person, of course, that's sitting down, the king and the queen and all of his people that are sitting down. Those are the greatest people. I want to be like them, you know? And we could say that in our day and age now. Man, I want to be like those famous people, man. They got everything in life. They're getting served. They got recognition. They got power, the money. They got all of that. And that's like our youth. They focus on that. They see it on their phones and whatnot. And Christ is like, no, it's not that. It's not all the glory and the fame. It's not the person that's sitting down. It's not the person who is high, who has a name and title. But it's he that is serving. And how does he say it? I love this. But I am among you that serves. Oh, man. But I am among you that serves. He doesn't say it's the servant that does that. He said, I'm the one that's serving. I'm among you that I'm serving. So who do you think is the greatest? That's incorrect. Like, can you hear them say that, you know? But I am among you that serves. And like when we're serving unto the Lord, let's like hear that from Christ to us. Like, I'm with you when you're serving. When you give somebody a cold glass of water, in Jesus' name, I am with you. When you're speaking to the young, and when it seems like none of them are listening, you ever try to do like youth group or teach like a couple kids, and it seems like none of them are listening, they're hard to control, maybe get two minutes of their time that they're sitting together quiet. But God's like, I am with you serving in this. And that's amazing. But I am among you that serves. I am God, yet I do not exercise lordship. I am God, yet I am not here for my own gain. I am God, yet I'm a servant. Philippians 2. I am God, and others are sitting, and I'm standing, and I'm serving. And this is like the mindset of Christ, our God. Like, that is amazing mindset. And I love that. We serve to allow others to sit. We serve to allow others to sit. You guys have a ton of events, luncheons, men's, women's, why? Because we want to gather and commune and fellowship, because it's so important. As the day approaches, you know, gather the more. Fellowship and communion is so important. You know, when we heard there's a lot of people sick. Some of them are, you know, not feeling well, they're maybe here now. They came because of the importance of it. The importance of gathering together. And that's amazing. We want to serve to produce fellowship. That's like a main point right there. We want to serve to produce fellowship. I'll stand and I'll serve you. Just come and dine with us. Join us. Like, that's an amazing heart of God. Verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with us. Yes, Jesus. Jesus is still speaking here. He's speaking to the disciples. What did they just say? Who's the greatest among them? They're thinking of themselves. And Christ gives them an answer in a beautiful way. And then in verse 28, he says, you are they which have continued with me. Like, he encourages them. The disciples, they failed so many times. They ran away. You know, they are fearful. They're scared. Like every one of us, we get into little pits and we fall away or we get discouraged. And he says, you have continued with me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for serving me. Like, can you hear Jesus say that to you today? Like, have you received that thankfulness from him? Thank you for serving with me. Because he knows you have a free will. You can do whatever you want. You have a free will. He's given you that authority in your life. But he's like, you'd rather be with me and serve me. Thank you. He doesn't look at their failures. He doesn't look at, oh, you've been away for so long and now you're just coming back. And he doesn't address those issues. He says, thank you for being with me. Oh, praise God. And I'm so like weak and fragile. And, you know, it's hard to get up sometimes, but God's like, thank you for being with me. And he says, with me in my temptations. And that reminds me of Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Like, we've been in weak and low moments, but he's able to sympathize with us. He's like, you were with me in my weaknesses. I was troubled. I was weak. And you're with me. Like, this is the togetherness. Like, he's all about unity. Paul in Ephesians, he's talking about the unity of the body, how important it is. And we have that here, you know? We have that unity here. We have that with Richmond and Culpeper. We have unity. We're farther away, but we have unity. Praise God for that. You're with me in my temptations. And in that second part of Hebrews, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we, but yet without sin. Praise you, God. We have somebody who can hear us and understand our weaknesses. Like he's not God Lord. He's not saying, "Oh, I'm Lord over you. You should get better. Like you should do better. Like I'm God and I'm giving you everything you need. You should be better." No, he's like, "No, we are weak together. I'm with you in the lows. I'm with you in the highs, in the mountains and the valleys. I'm with you, and we're serving, man. We're serving, and we're thinking about others." And we're praising the youth. We're thankful for the youth. We're saying they're the greatest. And then the leaders, they're the servants. They're the lower. It's different. And in verse 29, it says, "I appoint unto you a kingdom." This is the different part. This is why we are different. "I appoint to you a kingdom." It means I set an order. I am teaching you a new way because this is what the kingdom is going to be like. I am teaching you a new way. And it's opposite of the world. In Acts, remember the disciples were going out, and they're healing, they're teaching everybody, and they're like, "These guys are turning the world upside down. It's different. What are they doing?" And this is like us. It's a new way. It's a new kingdom. It's flipped. Everybody's serving each other. Everybody's loving each other. We're all from different backgrounds. And you guys are praying for each other. Why are people praying for people you've never met on these roads? Right? That's amazing that you guys have that heart and you're doing that. You're praying for different streets and you're going through all of Culpeper. Like, who is doing that? It's a new kingdom. Like, you're going outreaching. You're reaching the lost. Who is doing that? Who is on the streets? It's an upside down kingdom. It's flipped. I'm appointing unto you a new kingdom. In verse 30, we'll read the end of 29. "And I appoint unto you a new kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me." Jesus is teaching us a new way. Thank you, Lord. Verse 30, "that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is incredible, guys. There's a huge chunk in here. But I just want to hit on, like he said before, we are the ones that are serving, right? We're not the ones that are sitting down. We're not the ones that are eating. We'd rather have others eat in fellowship, you know? I'll get a piece, you know, bite a piece here and there. But I'd rather serve. And why is it like this now? Because he's like, there's a kingdom come. There's going to be a time where you're going to be with me in my kingdom. And you're going to what? You're going to eat and drink. You're going to be sitting down, man. You're going to be sitting down now. All the serving that you did and you didn't have to do, and I don't require it at all, but you did it anyways, and now you're going to be sitting and drinking with me at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is what this is talking about. And there's verses you could, Luke 14, 15, if you want, I saw you had little notes on the back. You could read this into it. Study the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's incredible. Luke 14, 15. "Blessed is he who eats and drinks with me at my Father's table." Revelation 19, 9 talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. And Revelations 21, 2 through 9. "You will eat and drink with me at my table." And second part is you're going to sit on thrones judging. Do you know that you're going to judge the angels one day? What? We're going to be judges one day? 1 Corinthians 6, 2. You can read that. You're going to be judges, rulers one day in Christ with his kingdom. Wow. Matthew 19, 27 through 30. And Revelation 3, 21. Those are those who are sitting on the throne of God, that we're going to be rulers. And so it's like he was saying before, we don't want to do it for our benefit, for a title, for recognition. Don't do it in this world for that. You don't need that. Because why? I have something greater for you in heaven. I'm going to give you recognition in heaven. I'm going to give you rewards in heaven. I'm going to honor you. And we're going to just have a party in heaven. It's going to be the greatest party in heaven. We're going to be sitting, eating and drinking. And all the weaknesses, all the sicknesses, all the pain, the suffering, the tears that we go through. And we hear it in the prayers, right? Like, those are all going to be cleared away. But we want that for other people, amen? This is why we're praying on our knees for people we have never met. It's because the Holy Spirit is doing the work. And he's involving us. He's evolving us. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. And let's close back, go to Psalm 100, and let's finish reading that psalm. And so now when we go to church, man, we're learning something new from a new kingdom. We're learning something from God, from his throne. And we know nothing as we ought, right? We know nothing as we ought. And we could learn from everybody. Christ is like, you could learn from the children. Learn from them. We need to be humble in our minds about that. Like, learn from the children. And we'll read verse 1 again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It is vital, vital just to have gladness and joy. We have to do it in the spirit, right? Serving in the flesh, we're going to get worn out. Trust me, we've all maybe been there. I've done it. Serving in the flesh is no fun. It's no good. It's not going to always be sunshine and rainbows. It's not always going to be perfect. But we serve the Lord. And when I first came to Bible college, the pastor said, I just like love having fun and just love making light of it, you know. And I'll never forget it. One thing he said to me, he's like, Jesse, don't ever lose your joy. Don't ever lose that joy. And where does our joy come from? Huh? From the Lord, right? Our joy comes from the Lord. Will the Lord ever leave us? No. No, he will never. We always have that joy. So maybe if I'm not feeling in that certain situation, maybe I have to go back to Psalm 100 and read that and think, wow, and think about the joy that comes from the Lord and all that he has done. And how he's with me in my temptations and my fears. And he teaches us a new kingdom. And just think on these new thoughts. Renew our mind, right? We need to renew our mind. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, and this is how we renew our minds, know ye that the Lord, he is God. One, he is God. He is the ruler of the heavens and the earth. He is the creator. Thank you, God. Number 2, it is he that made us and not we ourselves. Praise God for that, huh? It is he that made us. Like I think you guys learned about the potter and the clay, right? Maybe a few weeks ago, the potter. He's the one that makes us and forms us, and not we ourselves. And we are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. It's lining a picture of the tabernacle right here. We're entering into his courts with thanksgiving. We're coming into church. We're just like, wow, we're thinking about all the good things he has done before we even came in. We're thinking about the people who are serving and the people we're going to see every week we come here, right? We're thinking about them, their prayers. I love that you guys do that. I'm going to implement that in Richmond. Any prayer requests, anything, let's talk about it. We need to talk about our sufferings. We need to talk about it, the highs, the lows. And that's amazing. And we're coming in, and we're just like, wow, thank you. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this church and what you're doing, God. And we're coming in with thanksgiving. Like this, I was thinking, this is a perfect parking lot we could do donuts in. Has anybody ever peeled out and done a donut in this parking lot? Like, come on, like, yeah, just screaming Jesus' name, doing donuts and peeling out. Like, this is a perfect, like, come on, we're going to have fun when we serve the Lord, you know, right? Because we could get familiar with each other, and we could get better with each other, and then we could strive, and who's greater? I've served more than you. I've been here for 18,000 years. But no, let that not be among you, right? Let it not be among you. We serve, and we just enjoy each other's fellowship and company because we're opening up the Word of God, and he speaks to us a better word, and he loves us where we're at. He loves us. Amen. Amen.